Today's daf is Baba Vasra daf Kuf Chaf Dalit Reshira, sponsored by Henry Amidio Olinsky, Lizecha Nishmas, Meira Bas Zachar, whose Shloshim is today, and the Neshama Shevin Aliyah from the Zuchus of our learning, and we thank the Olinskys very much for the sponsorship today. We are holding at the second to last skinny line on Daf Kuf Chav Gimel Am Beis at the words Tanu Rabbanan. And the Gemara is about to quote a somewhat lengthy brisa. It's going to give several cases where a Bechor gets Pishnayim, even though it seems like a case that's Ra'ui and not quite Muchzak. Normally the Bechor does not get Pishnayim in Ra'ui, in that which is coming to the father, only in that which the father had. But we're going to have several cases that seem like Ra'ui, but nevertheless the Bechor is still going to get Pishnayim, and I'm going to elaborate on the logic of each of those cases. The Gemara is then going to have on the top of Amud Aleph a machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim. If a Bechor gets Pishnayim of Shevach that happens to the father's property, Mimela, after the father dies, meaning not something that they built a hotel on the property where the Yisomim did something to the property, but Shevach that happens Mimela, it happens automatically. Does a Bechor get Pishnayim on that? And we're going to give a basis for each of the shitos, for Rebbe's shita, for the Rabbanan shita, and then the Gemara is also going to define what's considered to be shevach de memela and what's considered to be just the continuation of the property as it normally goes up in value. Meaning sometimes there's something, a significant leap where it's considered a shevach that's worthy of a machlokas between Rebbe and the Chavim, and sometimes another apple grows on the tree. So is that a shevach that comes l'achar misa savir? So the Gemara is going to discuss how exactly we draw that line, and then on the very bottom, going over to Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss how do we paskin when you have a machlokas Rebbe and the Chachamim, specifically this machlokas, but really we broadened it to discuss any machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim. There are klalei apsak over here. Halacha k'Rebbe mechaveiro. Do we say halacha k'Rebbe mechaveiro even when he argues on a multitude of people? What if we don't really paskin one way, but you did paskin that way? Is it masha asa asui? Do we say that it's a valid psak, or do we say that the whole psak is invalid? So that's going to be the discussion on the top of Amud Beis. And then in the middle of Amud Beis, Gemara is going to move on to a discussion of halachas of Pishnayim by a milva and by ribbis. If the father was owed money, and then the father was owed ribbis when he died. So does a Bechor get Pishnayim of each of those? And we're going to try to plug in the various traditions and brises that we have about that to the shitos of Rebbe and the Rabbanan, to see whether they follow the shita of Rebbe or whether they follow the shita of the Rabbanan. So let's begin on Kuf Chav Gimel Amud Beis at Tanu Rabbanan. Says the Braisa, Tanu Rabbanan, HaBechor Notel Pishnayim Bizroa Uvel Chayayim Uvel Keva Uvel Mukdashin Uvel Shevach Sheshivchu Nechasim La'achar Misa Savihen. That HaBechor gets Pishnayim by the following items. By Zroa L'Chayayim V'Keva, which is when you shecht a kosher animal that is not kachin, that's regular chulin. So these are the things that go to a kohen. And if the father was a kohen who's supposed to get the zroa l'chayayim v'keva, the bechor of that kohen who was supposed to get it will get pishnayim of it. And mukdashin or behemos kachim that belong to the father, and shevach shavchun l'chasim l'achar misavien, if the Yerusha itself, whatever came in the Yerusha that the father deserves, the Bechor will get pishnayim. In order to fully appreciate the sugya, it's important to appreciate the halacha that a Bechor gets pishnayim b'roi kubim mukhsuk, and that the din of pishnayim of Bechora is only that which the father already had. And that's based on the pasuk. It says that the bechor lases lo pishnayim bechol asher yimatze lo. So yimatze lo means, and not that it's only that which is yimatze lo v'lo b'masha eino matzu tachas yado b'chayav, and not that which he does not yet have possession of during his lifetime. So not that which is only ratwi, but ratwi can come in different forms. For example, ratwi can be a yerusha that the father only receives after he dies, that he's yoresh bekever, and then he passes on to his children bekever. So a bechor does not get pishnayim of that, of a Yerusha that the father only receives posthumously. Second, a loan that the father, someone owed the father money, the father had not yet collected. We're going to discuss, that's a machlokas. Does the bechor get pishnayim of that? Is that considered ra'ui and not muchsak? That's the second type of ra'ui. And then the third is shevach, that the actual property that the father had improves and increases after he dies. So we're going to discuss, it depends when, how it improves, what kinds of improvement, what kinds of property exactly. So that's the third type of ra'ui. So the only type of ra'ui that there's no machlokas about is the Yerusha kind, the kind that the father did not yet receive when he was alive. But then there are these other two types, that which is a loan that's owed to him, and that which is the properties themselves increasing in value. So the Bryson now elaborates. Ketzad hiniach lenavien para muchkeres umuskeres biad acherim, if the father had left them a para that he had given to someone else to take care of for in exchange for a certain percentage of the malacha that it does, or for a certain fee, he rents it out for X amount of money, oshay sarah be'efer, or the father left them a para in a place where it's great and it's grazing somewhere and it doesn't need to be fed because it's self fed in this area where it's able to graze. The yolda, and the animal gives birth after the father dies, bechor notel pishnayim, the bechor gets pishnayim of the money that comes in for the chakira or the schirus, and the bechor gets pishnayim of the vlad, of the baby that's born, even though that money wasn't there bechaye av. Any shevach that comes mimela, that's automatic, that no one has to do anything for it to happen, the bechor is going to get pishnayim of such shevach. Aval banu batim v'natu kramim ein bechor notel pishnayim. But if the Yisomim, after the father dies, decide to build houses, to plant vineyards on the property of the father, the Bechor does not get pishnayim of that, because the din of Bechorah is b'momna muchzak, not b'ra'wi, and that is classic ra'wi. That is definitely something that is only ra'wi, because it's something that only came afterwards. So the Gemara is going to discuss the first din that we just mentioned in the Braisa, that a Bechor does get pishnayim of zroa l'chayayim v'keva, of the matnos kuhuna. So it says Gemara, hai zroa l'chayim v'keva, hechidami. What's the case where a Bechor is getting pishnayim of these matnos kuhuna that come from a behemas chulin? Ida asi lidei avuon, if the father had already received it from the Yisrael while he was alive, pshita, so then it's his regular money. Of course the Bechor is going to get pishnayim. He was already in full possession of it while he was alive. Ida lo asi lidei avuon, and if he had not yet received it while he was alive, well then ra'uhu ve'en Bechor not pishnayim b'raik ha'muchzuk, then there's no reason at all that the father should, that the Bechor should get pishnayim of such a thing. The father didn't own it, the father didn't have it while he was alive. Why in the world would a Bechor get pishnayim of something like that? So the answer is Gemara, hacha v'makirei kuhuna askinan. You have to say, no, the father did not actually take possession of it while he was alive, but we're dealing with a situation where the father was makirei kuhuna, that these people always gave their matnos kuhuna to this kohen. It was an understanding that's always the way it worked. De ishtachit b'chay avuhon, and the case was that the animal was already shechted when the father was alive. So even though they had not yet been mafresh from the animal, the matanos kuhuna, even though it hasn't yet been taken from the animal, it's kemishur mudamin. It's as if right after the shechita, it's as if it's already happened. As if the father was already kona the matana, and that's why the Bechor gets pishnayim of such matanos. Now a couple of critical phrases over here that are significant concepts in Shas. First of all, the notion of makire kuhuna. What exactly is makire kuhuna? Well, we know it means that this guy always gives to these kohanim. That's his habit of dealing with all of his matnos kuhuna, is it always goes to this kohen. But by what mechanism is the kohen kona before you've ever given it to him? What, because you know that he's your friend? How is that a kinyan of any sort? So there are several shitos in Rishonim over here. The Rashbam over here writes that he's mezaket to the kohen all the matanos kuhuna that he has, And the Rosh Hashanah explains what the Rosh Hashanah is trying to tell us is that he's mezake belibam, that they're mezake in their hearts. But it's not clear exactly how that's chal as a maisa kinyan. So the way some of the Acharonim explain is based on what the Gemara says in Ksubistav Kuf Beis, that there are certain things that don't require a maisa kinyan, that Amira alone is a maisa kinyan, because we're able to have an umdana in the Das HaMakna, that we're able to assume that the Das HaMakna is that he has a Gemira's Das, that he wants to be called, that he wants to be Makna this item. And that's what Makiri Kuhuna is. It's the kind of relationship that's so strong that you don't even require a Maisa Kinyan. There's an assumed Gemira's Das to be Makna to this Kohen even without a Maisa Kinyan. That's the assumption. That's the way some explain the Rashbam. In the Gidulei Shmuel, he explains based on the Ritva Maseches Gittin that Yisrael is able to be Mezakeh to the Kohen, the Matnas Kuhuna that he has, by saying Tiskala Chatzeri, that my Chatzer should be Kona for you, even though Stam Kohen, you would have to say Beferish like that, but by Mekiri Kuhuna, it's as if he said that. That is the Rashbam's Shita, perhaps. Rashi's Shita, Maseches Gittin, on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, is that since you always give the Matanos to this Kohen, the other Kohanim are Masiach Das from ever receiving it. And then it just happens Memela. It's as if it went to this Kohen, because none of the other Kohanim would ever have a claim on it. They know it's not theirs. They know they're never going to get it. But still, where is the Maisa Kinyan in that? Where do we find that the Makirei Kuhuna actually have a Maisa Kinyan? So that's what several of the Achronim explain, the Stipler and many others, that what Rashi's trying to say is that Matnas Kuhuna are considered to be the Mamon HaKohanim. It's considered to be that which belongs to Shevet Kuhuna, meaning even before any Kohen gets it, it does not belong to the Bailim of the animal that was just Shechted. It belongs to Shevet Kuhuna. But since we can't identify in a typical case which Kohen it goes to, it does not become the individual property of any single Kohen until you actually give it to the Kohen. But if all the other Kohanim are miyaish of ever getting a piece of it, so it's ki'ilu, it's not Shevet Kuhunas, but it's the only eligible member of Shevet Kuhuna. And the only eligible member of Shevet Kuhuna is the Makirei Kuhuna. That is how they explain the Shitas Rashi. Rav Chaim Eizer explains Rashi based on the Shita of the Ketzos in Resh Mem Gimel, that since the Matanos Kuhuna are not just Stam, a Matan out of nowhere, it's considered to be payment for the Avoda that the Kohanim do, so it's considered a Piron Chov of a Schiris Poalim, that you're paying workers who have done a job for you, and you don't need a Maisa Kinyan on the Chov that you have for Schiris Poalim. So anytime the other Kohanim were Mesiaish from getting those Matanos, and you don't have any Chov to them, you only have a Chov left to this Kohen. So he's Zoch in it because that's where your Chov is. You owe him money because he does the Avoda, and this is his payment for the work that he's already done for you. So that is Shitas Rashi. Tosfos suggests that since the Jew or the Yisrael always gives his Matanos to this Kohen, it's as if he has promised him the Matanos. And the Haftacha itself makes it that you don't need to do a Maisa Kinyan. The Gemara Bava Metzia Daf Memtes says that someone who's Maftiach is not allowed to be Chozer from that Haftacha on a Matanam Muetas. And even though if he were to be Chozer, it would work on a Matanam Muetas, if he were to change his mind, it would work. Nevertheless, as long as he has not yet been Chozer, it's as if the person who's Mekabel is already Muchzak in the Matana. So the Kohen is considered to be Muchzak in the Zro L'Chayayim L'Keva of the Makirei Kuhuna, and that's why his Bechor is going to get Pishnayim. So that is the Shita of Tosos. So again, several different Shitos about exactly how one should view the notion of Makirei Kuhuna. The other critical issue we have over here is Matanos Shlo Hormu Kamisha Hormudanyan. The Yisrael Chayim Keva have not been touched, they have not been taken, no one has done anything with them, and yet we're considered to be as if they've already been taken, as if they've already been designated. It says Tosfos, on the bottom Tosfos, Ksav Matan Shalom Kamisha Hormudamu, Tema, the Besamach Mukulak Rebbe. We're about to say that this price follows the Sheet of Rebbe, and it happens to be that we know, Besof Perkwez the Kedushin, Islay de lav kmishur hurmudami. That Rebbe holds in Kedushin Daf Nun Ches, Matan Shlomo are not kmishur hurmudami. So how are we going to reconcile these two sugyas? Says Tosos two possibilities. Number one, v'yeshlamo detana dachal osav lakarevi el b'had b'charshak v'shnayim b'shevach. We're not saying that the author of our brisa is Rebbe. We're saying that as far as the dinim of pishnayim go, the author of our brisa follows Rebbe's shita about pishnayim. But as far as Matana Shlo Hurmu, maybe the author of our brisa does not follow Rebbe's shita with regard to Matana Shlo Hurmu. I mean, very often when we attribute a brisa and we say, oh, it's going like Rebbe, it doesn't mean, or going like any Tana, it doesn't mean that that Tana is actually the Tana of the brisa. It means that whoever wrote the brisa, whoever taught the brisa, is following the shita of that Tana. Inami, second possibility, Dafka b'matanos to Chumas Meiser Islay the Rebbe Delav Kamishur Mudami, Av Matanos Dachad Zrol Chaim Sheni Karos Islay Kamishur Mudamian. It could be that there are different types of Matnos Kuna, and how clear it is that these are going to be Matnos Kuna would dictate whether it's considered Kamishur Hormudamian. Meaning the Zrol Chaim Mekeva, you can predict exactly which part of the animal is going to be the Matnos Kuna, because it's predetermined that Zrol Chaim Mekeva, that's what has to be the Matnas Kuna, as opposed to you have a pile of grain. So what's going to be your Trumas Meiser? I don't know, it could come from anywhere. So that we would not say Kamishur Madamian. That was the case that Rebbe was discussing in Maseches Kiddushin. So says Gemara, the Gemara is now going to discuss the second halacha that we had in the Braisa. The Bukhar gets Pishnaim of a Behemas Kodshim that a father left over. So ask the Gemara, Mukdashin, Lavdideninhu. It's not the Mamun of the father, it's Mamun Gavoa. So why would the Bukhar get Pishnaim of that which doesn't belong to the father at all? It belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. After all, this should be classic Ra'ui. It's not Asher Yimatzei Lo, which is the requirement that the Pasuk has for the Bukhar to get Pishnaim. So answer Gemara, B'Kachim Kalim, V'alib D'Rabbi Yosi Aglili Damar, Momen Bailim Hu. We're dealing with Kachim Kalim over here, and the assumption is, like the sheet of Rabbi Yosi Aglili, that Kachim Kalim has a status of Momen Bailim. Karban Shlamim, the halacha is that anyone's allowed to eat it, and it could be eaten throughout the entire city of Yerushalayim. Kachay Kachim, like a Karban Chatos, Karban Asham, can only be eaten by the Kohanim in the Azara, or Karban Olo, that's entire can't be eaten by anybody, entirely burnt on the Mizbech. Yeah, that would be Momen Gavah. But Kachim Kalim could be eaten by anybody, and could be eaten throughout all of Yerushalayim. So that's the question. Why is it limited to Yerushalayim? Do we say, oh, because it's God's food, it's not yours, it belongs to the Ribbono Shel Olam? It's just that the Ribbono Shel Olam is kind enough to share it with you, so long as you stay within Yerushalayim? Or do we say, no, this is your food, it just has certain halachos that the Ribbono Shel Olam limits you, unlike the rest of your food that you're normally allowed to eat wherever you want. The Ribbono Shel Olam limits you when eating this food that you have to eat in Yerushalayim. So Rabbi Yossi Shita is that it's considered to be Mamun Bailim. What's the nafkamina that it's Mamun Bailim? So not only is there a nafkamina with regard to the halacha of Pishnayim, but this is a sugya Maseches Kiddushin Daf Nun Beis, where the Gemara discusses, can you be Mekadesh and Isha with Kachim Kalim? Can you take the meat of your Karban Shlamin and say Harayat Mukadesh and be Mekadesh and Isha with it? If you're like Rabbi Yosef Glili, that's Mamun Bailim, then yes. However, Rabbi Yosef Glili Shita is only when it's still alive that we consider it Mamun Bailim. After Shchita, it's considered Mamun Gavoa, the Rashbam points out over here, that after Shchita, even Rabbi Yosef Glili would agree that it's Mamun Gavoa. And that's the Shita of Rashi, Maseches Baba Kama, Daf Yud Beis as well. Tosus over there holds that the Chaz of Ashok, which are the Chelek HaKohanim, are considered Mamun Gavoa, but the Chelek HaBailim is considered the Mamun Bailim even the Liachar Shechita, even after the Shechita is done. So says the Gemara, Ditanya, where do we find that there is such a Shechita of Rabbi Yossi Aglili? The Braisa discusses a person steals something from somebody else. The Nigzal says, I want my money back. The Gazlan says, I don't know what you're talking about, I never stole it. And he takes a shvua that he never stole it, and then later he's moda. So the halacha is, you have to pay back not just a keren, but a keren, a chomesh, and you bring a karban asham called an asham gzelos. So the pasuk says, Uma'ala ma'al ba'ashem, that the guy who swore falsely about that which he stole, he has been ma'ala ma'al ba'ashem. So the rabbos, kachim kalim, shein mamun bailim. This comes to teach us that even if someone steals kachim kalim, kailim, kachim kailim, that's considered, that's, he's still going to be chayiv, the keren, the chomesh, and the yasham, because it's considered mamon bailim, divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Meaning, why would you call that ma'al amalba? There are mitzvos ben adam lechavero, and there are mitzvos ben adam lemakom. If you steal something from somebody else, that's lechora, the classic bin Adam l'chaveru. So why would the Torah say that's considered ma'al amal b'Hashem? No, it's ma'al amal b'chaveru. So we're trying to say, the Torah is trying to teach us, says Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that even if the particular animal that you stole was a karban, it was kachim kalim, nevertheless, still the halachas are going to apply of keren, chomesh, and Hashem gezelos. Then the third din, the Brisa said, that if a father leaves him a para muhkeres and muskeres bi'ad acherim, where other people are working with this para and they're either paying a fee or a percentage of the profits that the para generates. Or the para was just grazing out in the middle of no man's land and it gave birth. Bechor notalba pishnayim. The Bechor gets pishnayim of that as well. So, frak the Gemara, hashta muhkeres and muskeres, telav berusus the Gemara de dukaim. Amrit Shakil, if even when it's in someone else's possession right now, because you have rented out this para, a farmer is using it for his own benefit, and you're just getting a percentage of, or you're getting a flat fee for the rental of the para, still we say the Bukhar is going to get pishnayim of such a thing, even though the father's clearly not in possession of it, robe from Ibai, where it's in the rishos of the father, it's just out grazing somewhere. Do you need to tell me that you can get pishnayim of whatever shevach comes? Just tell me the case of muhkeres and muskeres, and if the father's considered to be muhsak in that, then kal v'chomer, the father's going to be considered to be muhsak in the cow that's roa be'efer, that he hasn't given to anybody else. So it says, mm-hmm. It has to tell me the case of roa be'efer for the following chiddush. The muhkeres and muskeres is dumya de roa be'efer, to tell me that there are certain similarities between muhkeres and muskeres and roa be'efer in the following way. Ma roa ba'afar, not efer, ma roa ba'afar, shvacha de memele ka'asi v'lo ka'chasri ba'mazona, just like when it's roa ba'afar, when it's out grazing somewhere, the shevach is coming automatically and it's not lacking any mazonos. The yorshim don't have to spend any money to feed the animal because it's just going to eat whatever's out there in the field. Af muhkeres umuskeres, so too by the para that's muhkeres umuskeres, that someone else is currently in control of, the Bukhar only gets pishnayim if shivcha de memele kasi telochasri b'mazone. If the shevach comes memela and it doesn't require any mazonos, that the yorshim don't have to be feeding this animal, the chi of mizonos is on the socher. But if part of the deal of the schirus was that the yorshim have to be providing the food for the animal, then the shevach of the schirus and the shevach of the vlad are not considered to be b'memela, they're considered to be an investment of the yorshim. And anything that's an investment of the yorshim, a bechor does not get pishnayim of. So that's what it's teaching me about the muhkeres and muskeres case. In a typical muhkeres and muskeres, once you tell me that if a paras roa ba'afar, that's considered to be that the father is muksuk and that the bechor is going to get pishnayim of once you tell me that if it's roa ba'afar, once you tell me that it's muskeres and muskeres, that the bechor is going to get pishnayim, of course roa ba'afar, why do you have to give me a case of roa ba'afar at all? No, it gives me a case of roa ba'afar to qualify the muskeres and muskeres. When is it that by muskeres and muskeres you get pishnayim? Only if it's similar to a roa ba'afar case where you don't have to be providing it mizonos, where it's going to be feeding itself. So Rashbam raises an important question over here. He says, af muhkeres muhkeres b'shivcha d'memeila kamari dein malna yisom mizonos, that the case is that the yisom are not providing it with the food. V'im tomar listni roa ba'afar v'nayadana du'adil muhkeres muhkeres heichadol mechasri mizoni. Meaning, why don't you just tell me the case of roa ba'afar and I'll know on my own. Muhkeres and muskeres, when you're not giving it, when you don't have to provide it with food. V'lomim the missing muhkeres and muskeres klal, d'isruchsu roa ba'afar l'lamid aleim, d'lochas mizonos mayri. I mean, you say the whole reason we have roa ba'afar is to be megala what the case of muhkeres and muskeres is. So don't say the case of Mukharis and Muskaris at all. Just say the case of Rav Afar, and I'll know Mukharis and Muskaris. So says Rosh Rav, no, Itzrich. Salta daita chamina kol Mukharis and Muskaris lo shivcha de memelahu el al yidei b'nei odim shechorshin ba va'ovdin ba. Remember, if it's a shevach that happens automatically, that's where Bukhar is more likely to get pishnayim. If it's a shevach that people have to create, that people have to do, like building and planting, and that the Bukhar does not get pishnayim in. So one might have thought Mukharis and Muskaris, whatever shevach comes, is the work of the people, and that therefore the Bukhar would not get pishnayim. That's why it has to tell me that he even gets pishnayim in such a case. Tosos in the top Tosos raises a different question. Tosos im tomer adatana aval banu batim. You know, when we want to contrast and we want to say, you know, where you can have a case where the Bukhar does not get pishnayim, if they build and they plant. Well, you don't even need to say that. Now we have a much simpler case. Take the cases you already have, mukharis muskaris, and say, and if you're responsible for feeding it, then the Bukhar does not get pishnayim. Why don't we say liflog v'lisnei b'didei, that within the case we're already using, you can draw a distinction that's going to be able to highlight this idea that sometimes the Bukhar does not get pishnayim. So it says, Tosos yeshlom dava amina b'mukharis muskaris gufa dechasri mazoni dafka ina b'chor notel pishnayim mishum davi ro'ui gom. That one might have thought that building, planting is more likely to get pishnayim than a case of providing the mazonos. Because when you provide the mazonos and the para produces, what's he producing? He's not producing on his own body. He's working, and the profit is coming outside of himself. So yeah, that's where Bukhar is not going to get pishnayim. But when you build on the property itself, you plant on the property itself, there was a hava mina that the Bukhar would dafka yes get pishnayim in such a case. So that's why he wants to teach me the chiddush that even when it's on the property itself, the Bukhar does not get pishnayim. So now the Gemara is going to bring a machlokes tanaim about the shevach for which a Bukhar may or may not get pishnayim. So money. Who is the author of the Brisa that says that a Bukhar gets pishnayim when the Shevach comes automatically? As long as it didn't take any human investment, it just happens automatically that a Bukhar is going to get pishnayim in it. Rebbe he, that is the sheet of Rebbe. Titania, ein Bukhar notel pishnayim b'shevach shavchun l'chasam l'achar misa savien. Rebbe Omer ani, Bukhar notel pishnayim b'shevach shavchun l'chasam l'achar misa savien. Tanakama says that a Bukhar does not get pishnayim in whatever Shevach comes after the father dies. Rebbe says, sure he does. As long as the Shevach happened mimela, the Bukhar does get pishnayim. But if the Yisomim were mashpiach, after the Yisomim had to put work into it and create the prophet, that the Bukhar does not get pishnayim of. So it's Rebbe who makes that distinction between Shevach that automatically happens and Shevach that you do something, that you make it happen. Yarshu Shtarchov, the Brisa continues to explain Shitas Rabbi, if the Yarshim inherit a Shtarchov that someone owed their father money, Bukhar notel bishnayim. When that money gets collected, the Bukhar gets twice as much, even though the father didn't have it. L'chora, one would have argued that that's only considered ra'ui, but Rabbi says that's considered to be muhsuk, because that's a Shevach de Memela. It's automatic, no one has to work for it, no one has to put any investment into it, it just happens automatically. And according to Rebbe, that's enough to warrant pishnayim. Yatza alehen shtarchov. What if it's the reverse? The father sometimes, often, is morish the children not a wonderful estate. He's morish the children wonderful debt. He owes a lot of people money. So does the Bukhar get pishnayim of that? You know, he gets the advantages. Does he get the disadvantages also? Then now he's got to pay pishnayim of all of the father's debt. So Bukhar nosein pishnayim. Yeah, the Bukhar is going to have to pay the pishnayim because all of the nechasim of the father are meshubad for the payment of that loan. So therefore, he has to pay pishnayim for that loan, only from his father's estate, not from his own money, but that he had previously, but from the estate. Vim amar eni notel, veini no sein. And if he says, you know what, not interested. tell you what, I won't get Pishnayim of the Yerusha, and I won't pay Pishnayim. I'll be happy to be just like the rest of my brothers on this issue. So then Rashi, he's allowed to do that, and he only gets a Chelek Pashut, and he's only going to have to pay like a Chelek Pashut, like a regular child, not the Pishnayim. So my Tamayit Rabbanis. So now let's analyze this Machlokas between Rabbi and Rashi. Actually, even before we do that, take a quick look at Tosos. V'mamar eini notel v'eini nosin Rashi, that if he wants to say, not interested, I'll be like a regular guy, I'm not going to be a Bukhar in this case, he's allowed to do that. Omeri de nafkamina may summon katanim, de yachalomar Bukhar ein notal pishnaim, vi shar hakarkal if nea summon, veloyitel mehen, deinus kaklinich say summon ken ribis ocheles behen. Either way, it's coming from the estate. So why does he benefit by saying, when the father owed money, the children aren't going to have to pay it out of pocket. It's coming from the estate. So what's the benefit of saying, I'll tell you what, I won't be a Bukhar and I'm just going to be a Pashut? It's coming from the estate anyway. So if you get a double portion of the estate, so that double portion will be taken away. You get a single portion, that single portion will be taken away. What's he benefiting from saying such a thing? So Tosfos says, what if the other yisomim are ketanim? The halacha is you cannot be nifra minichse yisomim who are ketanim for to pay back the chavos of the father unless ribis ocheles ben, unless there is a ribis that's eating away at it. So he might be the only adult in the room, and he might say, okay. So I only want a chelek pashut, and the rest of the chalakim pshutim, the rest of the estate, will belong to these ketanim, and you're not allowed to collect from them. So therefore, it will remain in the estate. So that would be the nafkamina. The Rabbeinu Tam, toward the end of the Tosfos, points out Rabbeinu Tam Mefarishim Amar Kshiyatzalav Shtarchov Ala Bechor Atzmo V'lo Ala Achin Eini Notel Ve'Eini Nosein Rashay Umafsid Balchov. That let's say there's a Balchov that comes out against the Bechor and not against anybody else. So he could say, I'm not interested in the estate because he knows whatever he takes is automatically going to have to go to his Balchov. He's got personal debt, so he doesn't want. So he's only going to take a smaller portion of the estate. Ve'Eino Ali Yisomun Klum Delav Bal Dvarim Dedu V'Lo Avidum Yedu. That would be a different situation where they have no tainas on any of the other yarshim. So that might be the case. So now the Gemara is going to analyze why does Rebbe think that shevach de memela, that shevach that happens automatically, the Bukhar can get pishnayim, and why does the Rabbanan think that no, even that is considered ra'oi, and the Bukhar does not get pishnayim. So my tamay the Rabbanan, what's the svar of the Rabbanan that the Bukhar does not get pishnayim, even on that the improvements that come memela? Amar Kra, because the pasuk says laseis lo pishnayim matana kari rachman. It says laseis to give like a matana, so that's the lashon matana. So we learn from here ma matana admati liyadei avchelik b'chora admati liyadei. When does the matana become yours? When you actually take possession of it. So your chelik b'chora is also only when you've actually taken possession of it. There's no din of it being considered muchsak until it's actually yours, even if it was going to happen mimela. It doesn't matter. It didn't actually happen. Rebbe, Omer Rebbe would say, no, Amar Kra, Pishnayim, Makish Chelek Bechor, Chelek Pashut. When we say Pishnayim, we're saying double of a Chelek Pashut. So whatever the Chelek Pashut is, the Chelek Bechor should match what the Chelek Pashut, meaning the rules of what determines what a Chelek Bechor is, should match the rules that determine what a Chelek Pashut is. So ma Chelek Pashut avagav de lo mati liyadei, av Chelek Bechor avagav de lo mati liyadei. Just like the Chelek Pashut is even on ra'ui, it's even on that which has not yet been produced, it's on that which has not yet happened, but it's going to happen, so that's still gonna trickle down to the Yorshim, so too, the Pishnayim should trickle down in that way. What do the Rabbanan do with the phrase Pishnayim? Meaning Pishnayim does make it sound like the Chelek Bechor is just an amplification of the Chelek HaPashut. So who le misvele achad mitzra? Now that lush of Pishnayim teaches us that you should give the Bechor two properties that are adjoining each other, and not say, oh, you get property A and property D, and the other brothers are going to B and can see in between. That's why it says Pishnayim. Rabbi Nami Yaksiv LaSeislo. What does Rabbi do with the fact that it is written Belashon Matana, as if it only becomes yours when you actually take possession of it? Now, who is Shemamar? Any notov, any no saying Rashi. That's to tell us that the Bukhar has the right to turn down the Pishnayim. That just like by a Matana, you can't be forced into taking a Matana. You can turn it down and it will not become yours. So too, when it comes to the Pishnayim, that's what the Torah is teaching us when it says Laseislo, that you have the right to turn down the Pishnayim. Amrav Papa. So now we're going to discuss what kind of Shevach exactly do Rebbe and the Chacham disagree about. We know that when the Shevach happens automatically, Rebbe thinks you're still going to get Pishnayim of that, and the Rabbanan think you're not. But what's considered a Shevach? Meaning that you have a tree, it grows an apple tree, it grows another apple. So is that considered a Shevach de Memela, where the Rabbanan are going to say, no, you don't get Pishnayim of that? Or is that considered already there? That's considered already Muchsak. So Amrav Papa. Dikla v'alim. Arava Asik Sirton. If the father was Morish a Dekel tree, and after he dies, it thickens a little bit. It just grows naturally. It grows a little bit stronger. Or he's Morish them Karka, and after that, it some type of valuable mud or whatever is swept up by the ocean onto the property, and now you have some sort of mineral or something on the property that's usable. So the Kuliyamala Pligi Deshakil, everyone would agree that such a Shevach, the Bukhar gets Pishnayim of. That's not considered Ratli. That's for sure considered to be Muchsak. Ki Pligi, the Machlokas is, Bechafura Vahavashuvli. You have Shachas, that the father was merged to them, then after he dies, it becomes Shibalim, it becomes something else. It changes its name. It becomes an entirely different, qualitatively different item. Shlufafi vavitamari. You have a dekel tree that has not yet produced any fruit, and then it starts producing fruit. That's where Rebbe's going to say that that's already considered to be muchsak, because that was going to happen automatically. No one had to put any work into it. It just happened. That since it's a new name, it's a brand new item, it's something that wasn't here before and is here now, that the Bukhar is not going to get Pishnayim of such a thing. That is considered to be Ra'uy and not considered to be Muchsak. Good, so now we know we have this Machlokes Rabbi and the Rabbanan. How do we paskin? Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Chiya, the Melo Rome points out that Rabba Bar Chana should not be confused with Rabba Bar Bar Chana, because Rabba Bar Bar Chana is another generation removed from Chana. The Rabba Bar Chana, somebody else, one could have argued that Bnei Banim Arayim Kibanim, and Rabba Bar Chana is shorthand for Rabba Bar Bar Chana, and he was really a grandson, but that's not what the Melor Rim says. So he says as follows, Asa Kedivir Rebbe, Asa. If you follow the Shita of Rebbe, and the Bukhar gets Pishnayim of the Shevach, so good, that's perfectly fine, you can't go back on that. It's not considered to be that the Dayan was Toa Bidvar Mishnah by allowing that to happen. He didn't make a fundamental mistake to pass like Rebbe. Kedivre Chachamim, Asa. And if you follow the Shita of the Chachamim, also, that's a binding psak, because it's a reasonable psak. It's not something that's out of the question. Why would you say, you have to paskin, so one of them is wrong. So it says, well, no, misafkele, yalach karebi mechaveirov, velo mechaveirov, o alach karebi mechaveirov, vafilu mechaveirov. He wasn't sure what the rule is when it comes to Shitas Rebbe. Do we follow Rebbe against the Das Yachid, but not against Chachamim? Or do we even follow Rebbe against the Chacham? So since we have no way of proving one way or the other in terms of what the klal is in Psak, so either way is binding. Amar of Nachman Amarav, Asur Lasos Kedivir Rebbe. One is not allowed to do like Rebbe and give the Bukhar Pishnayim of Shevach that comes Mimela. That's a violation of a perversion of justice. Kasavar Halacha Kerebi Mechaveiro Velo Mechaveirov. Because the rule is that we pass like Rebbe Mechaveiro, but not Mechaveirov. We pass like Rebbe against the Das Yachid, not against the Rabbin. Renachman Di Dei Amar Mutter Lasos Kedivir Rebbe. Rav Nachman holds, you're allowed to do like Rebbe and give Pishnayim in the Shavach. That we definitely do paskin like Rebbe against the Yachid, against the Rabbim. We always paskin like Rebbe. So far, three shitos of how to approach Rebbe's opinion over here, how to approach this machlokas. Amar Rava, asu lasos kedivir Rebbe, v'im asa asui. You're not allowed to do like Rebbe, so it's not like it's a 50-50, choose whichever option you want. You can't do like Rebbe, but if you did, b'diavad, it will work. Chasavar Matin Itmar, because we assume that the halacha is noted to the sheet of the Chachamim, which means L'chadchila you're supposed to do like the Chachamim, but it's not a beferish psak that everyone is supposed to know that it would even be binding b'di'evet if you went the other way. So that's a fourth approach. Tani Rav Nachman Bishar Sifri Debe Rav, from the what it says by Yerushas Bechor, we can darshan B'chol Asher Yimatzilo Prat L'Shevach Sheshbichu Yorshin Lachar Mises Avien. We know very clearly that if the Yorshin put some work into the Yerusha and they enhance its value, they increase its value, that's for sure considered to be Ra'uy, and that they do not get Pishnayim, the Bechor does not get Pishnayim of. Aval Shevach Sheshavchu Nechasim Lachar Mises Avien, but if it happens on its own, the property just goes up in value, shakil, then you do get pishnayim. Umani rebihi, and that is exactly the shita of Rebbe. So we see that the Shar Sifri Debei Rav hold like Rebbe. Tani Rami Bar Chama. So now we're going to bring another brisa that supports the Chachamim. So Tani Rami Bar Chama, B'Shar Sifri Debei Rav, B'Chol Asher Yimatzilo Prat L'Shevach Sheshavchu Nechasim La'achar Mises Avien. Even if it happened on its own, it went up in value after the Mises Avien, still we're going to say that the Bechor does not get Pishnayim. And certainly he's not going to get Pishnayim when the Yorshim had to actually make it a better property. Umani Rabbananhi, and therefore that follows the Shita of the Rabbanan. So we have brises to support the Shita of Rebbe and the Shita of the Rabbanan, and four different approaches to how to paskin in this machlokas between Rebbe and the Rabbanan. Okay, we're a little bit behind, but tomorrow is a short daf. We'll pick up with Amar Avi Damar Shmuel tomorrow. Oh, yeah.